Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women.
And after all these beers, we developed some fissures from the fisting. I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this is a I don't know when this is coming up, but we're reading The Rainbow Fish by Marcus Pfister and restarting this beer. So, Jimmy, do you remember what colors the rainbow fish was?
Green, blue, and sparkle.
You said blue, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what's also blue? Blueberries. They're actually kind of purple, but whatever. we're not trying very hard.
If you're colorblind.
This is Founders KBS new version, Blueberry. Didn't even give it a good name. Just like Blueberry, which is an imperial stout aged with coffee or whatever and with blueberries. And I can't decide. This is my fourth bottle of it. I can't decide if I hate it or not.
What?
Figured you guys could help.
How strong is this?
11 point something.
Oh, God.
That's water compared to the thing we just had.
That's true.
It's what do you... Right? It's hard.
I like it.
No.
I don't know. I can't tell if I like it or it's terrible. Blueberry is an odd flavor.
It might not be good, but I like it.
Ah.
Different thing.
So I asked the guys to if we could talk about this book because I hate it so fucking much. And it's The Rainbow Fish by Marcus Pfister, which is a children's book that I remember reading in, 1992 or something, in kindergarten or whenever that was. And being enamored with the scales on the pages that were shiny, that had like a metallic thing. I was like, that's the fucking best book that's ever been made. And then I forgot about it for many years. And now my kid has a copy of it, and we've had to read it many times. And in my town, they put on a little fucking for kids performance of the Rainbow Fish musical.
There's which, not a lot of material there to give a musical.
They added a lot, and boy, did it suck.
Stephen Schwartz?
It was.
I believe it was Sondheim. Into the sea.
it was really bad. It was also like a local theater group, so they were not very good. So The Rainbow Fish is a beloved children's book that's been, read to every child since it came out, probably. Like,
I do not remember this book. So it came out sometime in the 1900s.
It came out in the 90s, so you might have been too old for it. It's not even like an old
joke. He's from Switzerland. Burn, literally.
I think 91, I want to say it's coming.
Copyright 92.
Okay, that's pretty close. So there's no fun. Why would you have read that as a bad age?
I was already 10, so why would I fucking read that shit? I was already reading Redwall.
Yeah, I just read it now, and I kind of remember it, but
So here's the gist. There's a fish that's really special, and it's the rainbow fish, and he has a bunch of shiny scales that no one else has because he was, hatched near a nuclear plant. And it didn't say he wasn't. He's not a Godzilla.
I mean, there's only one reason he would look like that.
He's from Chernobyl. And all the other fish, there's this other fish, there's like, hey, rainbow fish, can you please give me one of your scales? And he's like, that would fucking be skinning me. I don't know why you think that's okay. And like, that's what he should have said. He's like, that's my skin, you idiot.
I need it. It keeps my organs on the inside.
Instead, though, the rainbow fish is a dick about it. And he's like, fuck you. Why would I give you that? I'm not letting you scalp me. And then all the fish shun him. And he's like, this is terrible. Let me go ask this other character that is introduced for this one scene. Starfish, what should I do? And the starfish is like, you should go talk to the octopus. I don't fucking know anything. I don't have a brain.
He's like the wise owl in the
Tootsie Pop
Tootsie
commercial. A three.
I have a distributed nervous system and cannot make decisions. Each arm has a different, but you know what's funny? Octopus also same thing, distributed nervous system.
But I thought cephalopods are supposed to be real smart. Like they know when we're killing them.
Oh, they know.
So yes, but they also have more brains that are in their arms. They have a distributed brain. Yeah. Like literally their arms can make independent decisions. Which is wild.
And they just decide to get turned into calamari.
That's squid.
Whatever. Would you really be able to? For a few years ago, for Christmas Eve, we did the seven fishes thing, the Guido thing where you just eat, but like we really just did shellfish. And we cooked an entire octopus.
Ugh.
It was so upsetting.
Yeah.
Because you buy it and it's, it had been frozen at some point whenever they caught it.
But it's whole.
What's that?
But it's whole.
It's a whole thing, so you have to take the beak out, which is fucking gross. And then you don't want to, you have to boil it. That's the way we were going to cook it, at least. But you can't just, throw it in the pot, because it'll, stiffen up. So you have to dunk it in the pot of water and pull it out a few times. And every time you did, the tentacles would coil and uncoil as if it were alive again. It's like, I don't want that.
Ew. Also, the suckers still work.
Yeah, I did not. I took one nibble. I was like, no thanks.
Did you, you know, the shit they do in Korea where they
eat the live one?
They eat the live one.
Old boy?
I've seen a video.
Yeah. It's, if you eat it wrong, you can die because the octopus will try and climb back out.
Right. You like wrap it around.
You have to wrap it around so the arms all go inside the, and you have to shove it all the way past your throat so that it goes into your stomach directly instead of like unleashing it in your neck for it to emerge.
That's like the plot of Aliens.
Basically.
But what? What do you get out of that? Because if you have to shove it all the way past your throat and it's not its birthday, you're not tasting anything.
I imagine you can still taste it on the way in.
I mean,
I'm sure it doesn't taste great. It's more of a dare than a food.
It's like swallowing a bowl of goldfish or something. You know, you just to prove you did it.
Yeah, kind of. I don't think you'd want to do that either.
I mean, that was a fad at one point, right? Like swallowing goldfish and
yeah.
Well, anyway, this fucking octopus is smart, and it appears in a cloud of ink, and it's like, sorry, I just
disappears
farted.
Disappears in a cloud of ink.
That's when he's like, I sharted, I gotta go. I'm sorry, see yourself out.
Also, a starfish's mouth is also its butthole, I think. So, imagine how that smelled talking to that starfish.
That's I don't know if this is anal or a blowjob. This is weird. So,
the octopus.
How could it grunt? How could it grunt if its mouth is its asshole?
It's got vocal cords in there.
But if it's grunting and shit's coming out at the same time, like, does it make a sound? It's like a tree falling in the woods. Like, Jesus.
Well, everything's more muted in the sea anyway.
Nate, you're the science guy.
Sounds kind of like that. Like, I don't see the octopus.
So then the octopus is like, here's what you gotta do, dude. You have to give them your scale. Just give like your scales away. Like whatever, you'll grow new ones probably. You might not die.
Yeah, they can regrow scales.
Sure. Hmm. And then you'll know what happened. You won't be beautiful anymore. You will not be special.
He still has all the other different colors.
But sort of, but it's like you will not. He says like you will not be the most beautiful fish in the sea anymore.
But you'll have friends.
But you'll have friends. So take your pick. Those are the only two choices in life. He never was like, you know what you should do? Like, try to, like, have a hobby or, like, you know, talk to them or play Xbox. He's just like, just fucking skin yourself. And then the leech pieces of shit around you will like you until they find a new person to leech off of. The end.
So only if you have something valuable to give to your friends can you have friends.
That's why I think this is a fucking terrible book. Like, the message it's sending to children is, at the first glance, like, oh, it's about sharing. But it's like, no. It's
you have
not
to have
at all
something
about sharing.
About value in order to give it in order to like exchange it for their love. That is the only thing you have.
So, and you have to lose it. It's not like you share your company.
Zero sum game. This guy is Swiss. What do the Swiss love?
Well, he's
Jugo.
But he's not like he was like, listen, rainbow fish, the rainbow fish is a gefilte fish. And he's like, you have to give away all of your shit, your scales.
We'll keep it safe for you in a vault.
It'll be fine. And if anybody asks about it, we're going to say we don't know.
Never saw that, ever. Don't have any of that.
But seriously, like, it's supposed to be teaching kids to share, because then the rainbow fish gives the scales away, and everyone's like, yay, we'll come out of the woodwork. Like, we weren't nice to you when you didn't give us free things, but now we'll be your friend. And the rainbow fish is happy, and that's how it ends.
It's like the giving tree, kind of. But
the giving tree,
even less subtle.
I thought, the giving tree, I don't remember what we said about it.
It's not about you have to have this in order to have friends. You have to give it in order to have
this. It was less complex. It was more complex than this, which is not complex at all.
Well, because the giving tree, you could read it a lot of ways, right? You could read it as it's about being a parent and like sacrificing for your child or someone you love. Whereas this is, because the giving tree is happy throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
The giving tree is happy to give away the little things and to give away the big things.
It also has a humiliation kink, though, so.
It does, like, when he's like, step on my face.
Build me.
Just rub your feet on me. But the rainbow.
I am hard.
It's funny, you took my branches, now we both have wood. The rainbow fish, though, is literally you have to give away the thing. If you're too special, no one will like you unless you humble yourself before them, right?
Not even humble, but like literally give them your shit.
Like humiliate yourself. Like you have to just like let them all piss on you or something. Like the giving tree was into.
That tree probably got pissed on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, all trees do.
All trees.
I'm like the
Johnny
Appleseed.
Especially if there are dogs in the neighborhood.
I'm going around. I'm just pissing on trees left and right. Johnny Applepeak.
Mine. The dogs know.
What did you think? Nate, you just read it for the first time as Jimmy read it to us 17 minutes ago. What did you think?
I think the text is a vehicle for the illustrations. I think they did the illustrations first. Actually, wait, no. So when I was in elementary school, late elementary school, a children's book author came in to like tell us about what it was like. And she was mostly an artist, I think. And I remember her saying something like, how much text is there in one of these picture books? There's like, you know, a page total. Yeah. She's like, yeah, the first thing I wrote, the editor was like, throw it out. Second thing, throw it out. Third thing, I rewrote the entire thing 8 times.
It took me 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, I just had to like keep rewriting it and rewriting it. But if you're like the artist part, you know, you do the art, you draw the art, and then it's like, oh, now I need a story that connects these, but I've already drawn the pictures. Oops. I think that's it. I think it is really like, what is the message?
Some Swiss publisher was like, hey, no, we can make some shiny parts of the page. He's like, I'm on it.
I mean,
if
you don't think about it too hard, it's really just like, you need to share in order to have friends. There you go. That's like, if that's how deep you go with your analysis, then it's like, yeah. Well,
but it's in the ocean, which is deep.
This is the literature equivalent of a Che Guevara t-shirt.
Yeah, because it's communist.
But it's not. It's capitalist pretending to be communist.
What is this? This is Margaret Thatcher be flipping out, like, grow your tall poppies. These motherfuckers. But seriously, the rainbow fish is unique and special, and then the rainbow fish has to not be special. And give it's the rainbow fish is the 1%. he has to give away all his wealth, and then when everybody's equal and they all have such a minuscule amount of what made him special that no one's special anymore. Then
wasn't
that
the
happy.
Message of The Incredibles?
I never actually
when
saw
everyone's
that.
Super, no one is.
Well, when everybody has, but here, but everyone being super is one thing. Here, it's like everybody has one shred of
super
something.
Cool.
Right, but what makes him cool is his look. It's like if somebody had the most beautiful hair in the world, but then every single person got one strand of it. No one's. That's like not even. You don't even have enough of the special thing to be special anymore.
Yeah,
you've just killed a hero. You've just killed a man, which is what Che Guevara said when he were going to be shot by the
not an idea
CIA guys.
I would love to read this book as written by Ayn Rand.
Well, first off, it would be 700
fuck you, build
pages.
A railroad. In the sea.
Well, the rainbow fish, I will stop the currents.
And then the second 99/100th of the book is just a monologue.
It's just a fucking lazy coral reef mooching off of the rainbow fish. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a John Galt fish pun.
John Gulp.
Yeah, there you go.
John Smelt.
I am John Smelt. And then there's like the female character who has to have sex with all the male characters. She's just letting them jizz on her eggs. She's like a whole clutch of them there.
I didn't read that book.
Atlas Shrugged, the main character is a woman, and it's clearly supposed to be Ayn Rand because she's really, really smart, but also pretty. And and hardworking and better than everybody. And her name is... Is it Taggart? Is that the last name? I forget what their name is, but there's later throughout the book three male characters that all have this connection because they all like
went to
Capitalism University together or something. And one's a pirate.
The purest form of capitalism.
And one is an inventor or something. And she bangs all of them.
So they're milk brothers.
All, including fucking one guy in a train tunnel. It's like, I was reading, symbolism. I was like, I'm getting a capitalism boner.
Really? That's like, yeah, that's a symbol within a symbol. It's like a matryoshka of vaginas.
It's like a turducken. Ew. Which is what the book, I mean, the first half of turducken is what Ayn Rand is. Yeah, I actually think that'd be great if there's, you know how you know, there's like a, what the fuck is the Howard Zinn book? The People's History of the United States. And then yeah. somebody put out, you know, like the Patriots history. Like there's always reactionary
the
books.
The Better People's History of the United States.
The Worthy People's History of the United States. But there's
the
always
white the White People's History of the United States.
Which was just every history Certain book before. But they have the reactionary books. I would love to see the reactionary rainbow fish, where the rainbow fish is like, beat it, bum.
This fish is white and proud of it.
And then he called the police, and the police escorted that guy out to the city limits.
Bluefish lives matter.
This is a sundown reef.
Yeah, try that in a small school.
Yeah, so reading this to my kid, like, she obviously is, I think, Nate, you're onto something, like, the pictures are really the main thing.
That's true of almost every kid's book.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure some are words first.
I mean, they have messages, but it's a lot of, like, look at the fucking pictures.
I remember when the author said I had to rewrite it 8 times, and I'm like, you know, in like fourth grade or something, and like, and I've maybe rewritten one thing once, and I'm like, 8 times? I don't have time for that.
And that's Fuck when Nate decided not that. To become a children's book writer.
So there's still time. You could write 10 children's books right now. And they'd be just as good.
But I just think there's something bizarre. Like, the rainbow fish has to literally give him or herself, I don't know if the rainbow fish, what pronouns he use, away. He has to sacrifice the thing that made him special. Because it's not shareable. It's not like the rainbow fish sings a song that other people can listen to, or the rainbow fish is good at making, you know, like kelp baskets or something. The rainbow fish has to,
or has the cure for cancer.
Yeah,
or,
literally know. Has to, like,
disassemble Christ. His own body.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe or it's not Jesus like thing. I have all like, of yeah. this stuff. I don't need most of it. I only need a little bit. Most of it you can have.
Yeah,
that's
you could
fine,
have some of my sand dollars.
But it's a skin. Yeah. You know?
The sand dollars would be sentient beings in this. That's slavery.
They're they are slaves.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, but they're not people. Then they are happy as slaves.
I mean, they're literally not people, but that's a metaphor.
In Florida, they'd be happy.
They yeah. learned a lot of important skills that they were able to use post-slavery, those sand dollars.
Yeah. I could see this book selling in Florida. Actually being required to be taught in public schools in Florida.
I think it'd be amazing. That's like a 6-week unit for children on comparing the evils of the rainbow fish and the Marxist nightmare that it brings to children. With the heroic George Washington, who comes in the other book, and Alexandra Swamilton. I'm trying to think of more.
Benjamin Franklin.
John, no, fuck. Monroe, huh? Roe? No, that's a fish word.
Salmon too. Monroe. Yeah. Salmon P. Chase. Salmon.
He was on the $10,000 bill or something, wasn't he? The $1,000 bill? Salmon P. Chase?
I have no fucking idea.
Whatever like the biggest bill the U.S. ever minted, I think it was a $10,000 bill. I think it was Salmon P. Chase on it.
I don't know who that even is.
Treasury Secretary at some point?
Is that who the bank is named after?
I would be surprised if they're not in somehow related.
It's not named for Chevy Chase.
Minimal chance.
Okay.
Not zero, though. So I think it's a terrible book, but I have had to read it to my child multiple times, including sometimes like 3 times in a row, which it really hurts my soul.
Yeah, that's bad.
And that's a fish pun. But I hope that...
oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So...
it didn't at the end. It didn't say Finn.
It should have
Fuck.
Said Finn. I mean, I get, you know, to little kids, like, it's just a bump. They're going to, like, it's fun. They're not, and then the teacher's like, see, sharing's important. Okay, moving on. Now let's go get glue sticks and do something.
Here's how to not eat the glue. It's a different book.
Don't share the glue with your mouth.
Harold and the glue stick. Oh, he eats the glue stick and his glue's his butthole shut and he dies of sepsis. Harold.
I didn't know the sequel to Harold and the Purple Crayon.
He ate the crayon and it was fine. It did not work with the glue stick.
Does he eat the crayon of the book?
No. It's in the epilogue.
It's implied. Harold...
He glues his butthole shut and he dies. He dies young.
Very young.
That's a terrible tragedy. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so no one should read this book to their children, is what I'm saying, because it's stupid. But your kids will like the picture. And I just really wanted to rant about it. And you guys aren't nearly as offended by this as I am. Maybe it's because you haven't had to watch it so many times.
It's stupid. It is stupid. Well, I think almost every kid's book is stupid. I don't like almost any of them.
I just don't like when they try to have, I think, especially more modern children's books, try to have a message always.
Yeah.
And it's
what about a Curious George? He was just curious. That's why he gave that other monkey the hand job. It's like,
what's this hole in the bathroom wall?
Curious George is a great name for a gay bar.
Oh, yes. But
the man in the yellow hat is a water sports enthusiast.
Looks like rain.
What's he hiding under that hat?
But the, you know, nowadays children's books are so, I mean, to an adult, you know, they're so obvious because they're trying to do, you know, very inclusive characters and trying to have like wide ranges of cultural things, which is great. But like sometimes it's like so ridiculous. Like the plot is like, Leslie lives with her fucking white parents and in moves her new neighbors, Umbife and fucking Ngasi. And they're like, who the fuck are these people? And they learn about acceptance by eating chickpeas. It's like, okay, this is like really unsubtle. And there's nothing, it becomes so much about the message that like the vehicle to deliver the message, the story, and it becomes shittier than normal.
I had a
kid's
book when I was young. It was called The Very Hot Samosas. And it was a series of like photographs instead of like drawings of like an Indian family, and they're like, the kid like knocks a spice into the fucking samosas, and you know, and then they eat it. They're like, these are very hot, and they're like, oh, and next one, like, oh, fun, and it's a nice little book, and it had nothing to do with like accepting Indian culture. It was just like, it's just a book where everybody happens to be Indian. And also, I don't know what the fuck a samosa was. Like, oh, it's a fun book. I like this book. Couldn't tell you what a samosa was still.
Very hot samosa.
See, like, you could do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when it's four, it was like, look, they learned to be friends. Like, there's just, this book was just, I don't want to come across as someone's like, oh, they're forcing it down our throats. But it is sometimes, it's a little, not to be non-kosher, ham-fisted.
It is very ham-fisted.
It can be done in a way that's just like, just fucking write a story. That's still good either way. It's still a stupid fucking story.
Oh, invariably. But yeah, children's literature is pretty crappy. And this is especially bad, but really, really popular. And I will say one funny thing about the musical thing that I saw is that the starfish is a character. I mean, it's like 45 minutes long, so they had to add a lot of, you know, there's songs. And they make the rainbowfish more of a prick from the very beginning. So, like, he has to be, like, taken down a peg, which is kind of an improvement.
Yeah.
Because here, he just comes around and
he's
struts.
Kind of aloof. He's not actually a dick. He just doesn't answer them. They say, hey, give me some of your skin. He's like, oh, that sounds like a crazy person. I better not answer them.
I'd really rather you not wear me as a mask.
It's like, if I was walking down the street and a guy said,
I'm just trying to get to 59th Street.
If you were walking down the street and a guy said, like, hey, can you give me your hands? I'd be like, whoa, I'm just going to go. Thanks.
But what if he was lower 60?
Sorry,
hey.
No, sorry, I don't have any on me.
Hey, are you done with that scab yet?
Actually, I am.
I am now. But he was an asshole. Like, he came out in the musical, and he's like, I'm the rainbow fish, and you suck ass. So, like, he was just, I mean, he didn't say those words exactly.
He took a shit in someone's mouth.
He was just like, open up your mouth, starfish. We're doing Lincoln Logs. So he's shit in its mouth. No, but Nate never heard of Lincoln Logs. So they have a the starfish was like the comedic relief character, and it was the starfish was as intelligent as something with a distributive nervous system. It was just like, hey, like he would be talking to it and it would start repeating itself. Like that was, or maybe the actor was that bad.
Was it a kid?
No, these were old fucking failed actors from the middle of Long Island. But there was a recurring waiting for Godot kind of thing where the starfish was like, hey, have you seen Marlin? Or I forget what name it was, but like there was another fish that wasn't in the play. And it's like, I'm waiting for Marlin here.
That might have been a Finding Nemo / Waiting for Godot reference.
I mean, yeah, but was that a thing in Finding Nemo where they're waiting?
The dad's name was Marlin.
Oh, I mean, it might not have even been Marlin, honestly. I don't remember what the name was. No, okay. But
Marlon Brando?
but the starfish would kind of like, have you seen whoever the fuck his name is? And then the guy like, no, you just asked me that. I guess the other arm asked me. And then he'd go, because he owes me a sand dollar. And that happened like six times. And I was like, the theater guy who wrote this shit for his like MFA fucking program.
I smell a Tony.
I would like to imagine that the scathing, you know, reviewer smells more like low tide.
Pedestrian. But the swimming version of that.
The tidings are low. So that was kind of funny. And then they had more just the exact, you know, more stuff of the rainbow fish being scared to go to the octopus. But that was really basically it. And then at the end, he pulls out of his pocket a bunch of felt scales and threw them at the fucking people. And they're all like, yay. But he still had all of his because it was part of his costume. So kind of changed the ending too, like as if he could just shit out more scales. It was terrible.
It was about fiat currency.
Here's how you know it was really bad. My four-year-old's favorite part of it was the fact that it was like in a park. She saw a frog earlier in the day. That was the most memorable part of that play, was seeing a frog unrelated to the play.
I mean, I agree.
Like, Daddy, I saw a frog by that tree. I wonder if he's still there. Like, did you like the play? Yeah, I like the frog. It's like, all right.
I mean,
you're right. That sucked.
It's a vaguely aquatic creature.
It's amphibian, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Halfway there. So no one should read this book. It's fucking dog shit.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I hate it. It offends me. And not just because I'm like such a libertarian. They're like, how dare you come for our guns or something.
Earn your own scales.
Yeah, fucking pull yourself up by your scale straps. But it's such a dumb message that is so, so bad that no one should ever read it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Thanks for letting me say that. That's really what I wanted to say because I hate it so much.
It's a free week for us.
Back to school.
I'm putting that on my Goodreads.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. We read it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I read it to you, so it still counts as an audiobook.
Nate's streak continues.
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter at drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
And if you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub. And if you've listened this far, and you know how many people have sent something to you so far? Zero people. Email me. I will give you a dollar or something if you tell me you heard this message.
Maybe.
No one has done it. Maybe. I only have one to give away, so you better be the first.
Be the first one. And you can also find us on Goodreads, where this book is not.
Actually, but it's going to be on your Goodreads account.
You can find it.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.